Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, wonderfully creating us in your own image, becoming human in Jesus, sharing the flesh and blood of our humanity, so fill us with your Spirit that we may come to share in your divinity, and that in the company of those who knew your birth among us, we may cry glory and know your peace. This we pray in the name of Jesus of Bethlehem and Egypt, of Nazareth and Jerusalem. Amen. Among the many adjectives I have heard used to describe this past year, more than once I've heard of the year 2020 as broken. The highlights for why, you know all too well. The coronavirus pandemic, of course. Right now, even as it is at its peak, thankfully there seems to be some relief in sight. Light at the end of the tunnel, as we say. Though this Christmas Eve, I realize that the grief we feel could be a little more heavy or heightened because we cannot gather together here in this church as we normally do or partake in the activities we normally would at this time of year. As if a pandemic isn't enough, and in my opinion, it most certainly would be, there is more, of course. For example, in the midst of the racism which has always infected our country, which lays at our country's very foundation, we have witnessed an increase in unashamedly brazen white supremacy and an increase in acts of hate directed at black and brown bodies and those who stand with them. Then there is the sharp political polarization of this past year, which does affect us all in different ways, accompanied now by increasing threats and even violence directed at political rivals, complicated even further by what can be aptly described as an attempted coup, trying to overturn the results of an election. Throw in the unprecedented fires and hurricanes of an abused and sickened earth. A lot has happened this year. And of course, we all have our personal stories as well. Losses or upheavals affecting us or those we care about. Can a year be broken? Maybe. The feeling is understandable. Throughout this year, many times over, we all have felt derailed, or at the least detoured, upended, or at least disappointed, anguished, or at the least unnerved. As I think of this, and as really I pray with this sense or this idea of brokenness, I have found that if I let it, it moves me. It moves me a little closer to the reality of that first Christmas. Away from the image on a Christmas card and closer to the world where Jesus, God incarnate, was born. The Christmas story, those details are well known to so many of us. The Gospel of Luke tells us that first Christmas revolved around the completely unplanned pregnancy of a very young, very unmarried girl. It involved the uncertainty and scandal that surely this pregnancy created. And the disruption, the complete upheaval of the well-made plans of Mary and Joseph. Already discriminated against as they were because of religion and ethnicity, we hear then they are forced on this long journey, traveling for days, sleeping maybe in strangers' houses or outside even. Mary gives birth among livestock. Jesus sleeps in an animal's feed trough. His first visitors are animal herders, considered to be among society's outcasts. Fear is their first reported emotion. As we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, we hear that sometime later, the new family flees from political violence, running for their lives, living as refugees in a foreign land. This is the story of the first Christmas. And as I think about that story, I realize that the adjectives we use to describe 2020, and there are so many, they could be the same ones that Mary and Joseph might use to describe this particular time in their lives. And then this past year has helped me reflect upon the reality of that first Christmas. Because it felt broken too, filled as it was with anxiety, insecurity, displacement, distress and pain, need, serious, profound need. No, this is not the Christmas of crash scenes or Christmas cards. It's even better. It was in these circumstances, as difficult, precarious, heart-rending as they were, that God chose to become incarnate in Jesus. These are the people, the places, the situations where God appears, where God is born. God enters into our world just as it is, in its ambiguity, in its sometimes severity. And God enters into our lives just as they are. The peace, the joy, the hope of Christmas are real. They are real. They exist, though, not apart from our world, not apart from our lives, but in the midst of them. Just as it was on that first Christmas. God's goodness was born then. And God's goodness continues to be born anew today. As you heard when I began the sermon, I do find it far too easy at times for me to name the challenges of this past year. Maybe you can relate. And so through this Christmas season, it might be a particular gift to ourselves to do something different. During this Christmas season, to spend time intentionally reflecting on where we have seen, where we have felt, where we have known God's presence in ways great or small. Because God has been within this past year. God continues to be made flesh, made real in the world as it is. And each one of us is a part of this. As we open ourselves to the incarnation, to God in Jesus, God in this world, God in us. God is with us, present within the situations and circumstances of our own lives, and God desires to be born through us again and again. This Christmas season, let us open ourselves once more to the gift of the Nativity, where peace and joy, hope and healing are made real for us, through us, among us, as it was on that first broken and beautiful Christmas so long ago. Amen.